we've been talking about this great subject of how to predict our future. And Andy Stanley has given a great foundation in this, and so I am glad to pass this on to you, because I think it hits not just our graduates who are going into their future, and I think it's important to them that we do stop and look and realize that we are determining our future right now. But it's not just the graduates, it's all of us. Because no matter what age we are, you're determining tomorrow. And I think many times, sometimes we get to that place that we think, okay, I've already established myself, and I don't have to worry about my future anymore. And that is a deception, because no matter what stage in life we are in, we are still walking the path of life. And it is so important, and God desires for us to begin to know that we can still have the future that he wants for us even tomorrow. So I want to start with a couple things. First of all, four things regarding the art of lostness. Andy Stanley calls it the art of lostness. But these are things that in our life or even in a journey are true. The first thing, first truism is we don't get lost on purpose. Think about that. In fact, it would be very difficult to get lost on purpose, right? Because if you got lost on purpose, you really know what you did. You could always just backtrack and then you wouldn't be lost. So understand that in the first place, we don't get lost on purpose. So we are not condemning anyone, and we are not saying anyone's fault, because it's just something that happens. But we want to avoid that. Second thing is you are lost before you know it. There is not a time that you realize, I have just become lost. By the time you realize it, you were already lost for a while. Isn't that true? You got lost before you knew that you were lost. In fact, if you could think back at the time when I became lost, if you could remember that time, you could just go back to that time and become unlost. So it happens before we know it, and it happens at the point where we have already put distance between us, and there is no returning. Here's the third thing. Men tend to go faster when they realize they're lost. Is that true? I don't understand why. We're lost, well, let's just go faster. I mean, how does that solve it? But it's a tendency that we just think that the solution is, let's just go faster. It's just the opposite of what we would think. And so many times in life, when people try and tell us we're lost, you know what? We're like, don't tell me, and we just go faster in the wrong direction. We need to be aware of that. And then here's the fourth principle of lostness, is we will always wind up where the road you're on ends up. Think about that. You will always wind up where the road that you're on ends up. That is something you cannot change. We may want to. We tell ourselves, I'm not going to end up there. But yet, if you're on that road, that's where you're going to end up. But these are true when we're traveling, when we're driving. And so we can acknowledge those, you know, when we're driving. No, I didn't get lost on purpose, and it happened before I knew it. And sometimes I just went faster, and it is my destination ended up being something I don't want. But the problem is, what's obvious when we're on a journey driving is not always obvious in our life. It's the same principle, but yet what is obvious and what we know when we are traveling, we tend to ignore in our life, even though it is the exact same principles. Because just like the physical roads and highways and paths that we travel on, they have a predictable destination. You know, when you get on a road, you know it's going someplace. The same thing happens in our life. The roads in every arena of our life have a destination, which brings us to this principle that we talked about last week called the principle of the path. That in our life, we are always going to be subject to this principle. Direction determines destination. The choices you make, you might say, what do you mean by direction? I'm talking choices. I'm talking about priorities. I'm talking about desires, pleasures, what you do. Those are all a direction. And it will always determine your destination, the things that happen to you, the type of person you become, the circumstances you find yourself. Many times we think, these circumstances just happened to you. No, there was a lot that went into you coming to those circumstances because your direction determines your destination. This is true not geographically. Now, we know that geographically. If you get on 8 West, you will end up in San Diego, no matter what. It's determined. But just like geographically this principle works, it also works in every other allele of your life, okay? Financially, professionally. When you start a direction, it's gonna have an ending place. Relationally, many times, relations is just something I'm doing. No, it has a destination. Morally, spiritually, mentally, physically, all the alleys of your life are subject to this. The direction you choose will determine the destination you end up with. You can even add in things like marriagally. Can make that up. Marriagally, parentingally, okay? All the alleys, you choose a direction, and it brings us to a destination. But today, we want to look at one part of that. If I was to ask you, in any one of those categories we just talked about, financially, you know, relationally, professionally, what do you want to end up at? What do you want to end up with? We're not looking at the direction, but where do you want to end up? You know, maybe in 2 or 5 years, you know, financially, you might say, well, in 2 years, I'd like to have saved up some money, or I'd like to pay off some debt. Maybe professionally, I'd like to have gotten a raise, or I'd like to move into this job, or maybe in physical terms, I'd like to lose some weight, or I'd like to get in shape, or I'd like to do this. All of us have some kind of goals. So if I was to ask you that question, I think everyone would have some kind of answer because we are all basically planners, okay? We all have a plan, even though some of us may not have a actual, now some people are, boy, they have actual 5-year plans and they have it organized and written down. I'm not that way. But even if you don't have a plan like that, you know, some people ask us those questions and you're like, I don't know. I hate when they ask me those questions because I don't have no 5-year plan or anything. But even if you're not like that, you know what? There's some sense in your heart. You still have an idea of where you want to end up. You still have something, even if it's not conscious in your mind, you have a place that you intend to end up. And it may not be something fancy. Maybe your intention is, I just want to intend to have a nice, enjoyable life. You know, with my family and a good job. And you know what? I don't want to be rich, but I want to make ends meet. I don't have to. So we all have these intentions that we want things to end up. And here's the challenge today. We've talked about this principle. Direction determines destination. But here's the challenge. So many times there's a disconnect between what we intend, the destination, there's a destination we want to get to, but there's something that disconnects us from that destination to the direction we choose. For some reason, we definitely intend to get someplace, But I'm telling you, sometimes the direction we choose has nothing to do with that intended direction. And that's where the problem is today, that we are disconnected from where we want to be and the direction we're taking, the small choices that we're making. And here's the thing. I don't want you, and I don't think you want, and I know that God does not want you to be a victim of that disconnect. Because when there is a disconnect between what you intend in your mind and what you choose, there's going to be a crash. That you are going to suffer a great fall. Because at the end of the day, here's the thing. Direction will trump your intention every time. I don't care what you intend. Your intentions mean squat. You can have an idea of where you want your life to be, but the direction you actually choose is what's going to happen no matter what you want. People tell me, oh, no, I'm gonna do good. You say you're doing good, but look at what you're doing. The choices, the priorities, the emphases that you give in your life, there's a disconnect. And you are not going to get what you intended. And how many times people say, man, my life just did not turn out what I wanted. And this is why this series, why we're talking about this, because you should have known. God doesn't want you to get there and say, how did I get here? He wants you to say, you know what? I'm heading in this direction, and so I'm going to choose and get where I want to be. There's examples of that. We say, I want to get out of debt, and yet we spend money on frivolous things. And then we wonder why I never get where I want to be. Well, you need to look where you're spending. Relationally, we might say, man, I want just peace in our home, and I want everyone to get along, and I want to enjoy this relationally. But yet, our focus is on ourselves, and we're busy, and we don't spend time, and then we wonder why we don't have those things. And it goes into every area of our life. We have intentions, but the direction that you're choosing will trump your intention every single time. And I'm here in the middle of that. There are people, and we talked about this, it's so easy for us to see other people doing that more than ourselves. Because how many, we look around and we see that because we know, you know, what they want. And we're like, why are they doing that? But yet we're doing the same thing. And maybe someone has tried to warn you. Maybe someone has been telling you, and yet we don't want to hear. Because even though we can see it in others, we don't want to hear it in ourselves, and we get annoyed. Here's the thing. You are unique. You are special. You are one of a kind. But your choices and your path are not unique. The reason I say that, because you know what? We see it in others, but this is the deception. I can't believe they're making that choice. They're not going to end up that way. But I'm different. You see, when we look at ourselves, I'm unique. I am myself. I'm not going to end up that way. You are unique and special, but your pathway is not. Your choices are not, and your destination will not be unique. Because the principle, remember we talked about last week, it applies itself to you whether you want it or not. And so today, we want to look real quick at the Word of God that really applies to this principle. This was written about 900 BC, so maybe 3,000 years ago, and yet it still applies today. Written by a man who is known as the wisest man, that God gave him a gift of wisdom. It's not something he had, but it was something that God gave him, and that is Solomon. And so we're going to look at this. Solomon wrote this parable to illustrate this principle. It's written to a group of young people, kind of like what we're talking about today, like we've had up here, and it was written to spare them or guide them into these choices. Now, there are two main characters. There's a naive young man, and there is a seductive married lady. Although the married part is very loose on that. Now, I want to make two quick things. The point of this story is not to say that all women are seductresses, and it's not to say that all men are naive, although that may be the case. Because in fact, the woman and the man, it's really, they can be representative. The man represents us, all of us, the naive young man, that all of us at any point in our life. And the woman represents the world and even our own heart. So that is what the point is going to be. And it's going to show us that oftentimes what is intended by us to simply be a diversion is actually a direction. I want you to think about that. Things that you think are only diversions in your life, they are actually directions, and they have destinations. So it's not good enough to just have good intentions, because those will not count for anything. So let's pick it up in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6. And so Solomon is telling them the story. He says, at the window of my house, I looked down through the lattice, and I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men a youth who had no sense. Let's not be a youth that has no sense. He was going down the street near her corner. We'll find out who her is in a second. Walking along in the direction of her house. There's our word there. He was going in a direction. It was at twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. So we have these two different perspectives. There's the narrator who is overseeing this, and then there's the young man who is walking through life, going down the road. And if you were to see these two perspectives, it would be kind of like two different soundtracks. And the thing that the young man is hearing in his ears is very different than the Jaws theme that we hear in the narrator's ears. Dun, dun. And many times what we are hearing is not what is truly going on. It goes on, it says, then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute with crafty intent. She is unruly and defiant. You know, he really puts on the drama here of the character behind her, even though that is not seen on the outside. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner, she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him. With a brazen face, she said, and here it gets a little spicy here. Today, I have fulfilled my vows, and I have food from my fellowship offering at home. Ooh, doesn't that just catch your, would that just bring that young man in? What does that mean? I mean, is that supposed to entice him to her? What is this, some seductive thing? I have made vows and I have my fellowship offering at home. What is this saying? What it is saying, that it goes with the culture at that time, that she has done this religious ceremony. We don't know whether it was a Jewish ceremony or one of the Canaanite ceremonies, but in some sense, what she's saying to this guy is, look, I'm a religious person. I'm moral. I have made my vows, and I have made my fellowship offering, because so many things that try and lure us into its path, many times have the outward appearance, even of very moral and religious things. It's okay. Look, we believe in Jesus. Look, we go to church. It's okay to do these things. We need to be very careful, because things in our life can couch themselves in ways that look good, She's basically saying, look, I'm a good person. I believe in these things, so it's okay. And yet, we know that it is a lure. And they can be very simple things in our life that are luring us away. They are little choices that we say, you know what, it's no big deal. I'm not going that direction. I'm just going to, in the meantime, I'm going to do these things. You know, what's wrong with these things? And they can be all things. Friends, parties, music, sports. There's all things that there's nothing wrong with them in and of themselves. But we need to ask, where are they taking us? What direction are we going with them? You know, even church, how are we doing it? Is it just a superficial thing? We're going through the motions. We go to church. We say our vows. We bring our fellowship offering. But yet, what does it mean? Is it just a superficial thing that you're going through the motions? She goes on, she says, so I came out to meet you. I looked for you and I have found you. You know what she says? There's this seduction that you are the most important thing. It's all about me because I'm one in a million. You see, I'm special. I am even God-made. We live in a world of self-esteem is the most important thing. Let's just make them know that they are important. And yet this is a dangerous thing because even as the narrator's watching, and you know that this lure touches each one of us because we all like to feel important. We all like to feel like yes, I'm special. I'm one in a million. And you know what the narrator says? No, you're one of a million. Because these same arguments have pulled tons of people throughout history into their trap. What you are doing in your life is nothing that anyone else has not done before. And we need to be careful. She goes on and says, I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Now, what is this? I'm going to go sit on a bed that's been covered with potpourri. That's basically what she's saying. But you have to understand the time in which they lived. Back then, let's just put it this way, everything stank, right? You know, people weren't taking showers like we do, and there wasn't disinfection. It stank. There was sewer in the streets. There was, you know, people did not smell the greatest. Everything pretty much stank. But here was a promise. I can free you from the burdens of this world. I can give you something that you don't have enough, and it's a simple pleasure. I mean, who doesn't want to smell nice? Who doesn't want a break from all the putrid things of this world? It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. I'm giving you something good. And I'm going to tell you, the things of our life, they offer us simply a freedom from some very bad things. Stinkiness is not something to value. But be careful, just because something relieves some burdens doesn't make it good. There are things that we do that give us pleasures, that free us from some of the worldly problems, and yet they're taking us still down the wrong path. She says, come, let us drink deeply of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. So not only a freedom from the burdens, but there's pleasure. You know what? There's nothing wrong with pleasure. Come on, and we can just enjoy life. And that is a big thing today. Enjoy life. You should enjoy life. Anyone that tells you not to enjoy life, they're the ones that you need to run from. You need to be very careful with that. Because is pleasure the goal of life? And even if pleasure is a goal, which I believe God does have pleasure as a goal, but pleasure is not the pathway to get there. See, pleasure is a goal, not a pathway. And too many of us, we take the pathway of pleasure rather than intending the destination of pleasure. The destination of pleasure is much better than the pathway of pleasure. And so what are we choosing? She goes on, she says, my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey and he took his purse. Well, aren't you glad he took his purse? What is this kind of family? Basically, if you look in other translations, he just took a bag of money. His purse filled with money, and he will not be home till full moon. So what is he saying there? She's saying, we have time. Is this not what you hear in your own heart sometimes? You know what? I'm just going to do this right now. You know, I'm going to be back at church next week. What is this? You know, we have time. We're not going to get caught. There's not going to be any circumstances. It's just a one-time thing. This is what she's saying. My husband's gone. There's no consequences for now. When he comes back, then we'll make sure we make the right decisions. But now, see, there's this disconnect from life that everything's disconnected. No, it's not now is now and later is later. I'll do the right thing then. We need to understand that is a path that lures us down the wrong road. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. And let's not judge him because we are all being seduced by our own heart, by the things of the world, and we need to be very careful. Are we aware of it? It says, all at once, he followed her. He followed her. You could kind of understand in his mind, you know what? In him, he's like, wow, what an opportunity. This has come and she's chosen me and I have this opportunity. And there are good opportunities. I'm not saying that everything's wrong, but he took advantage of this as if like, you know what? It's like kind of going to the club and I got to jump the line, go in front of all the line, go in front of the bouncers. I got to go into the VIP place. Wow. Woo, I'm enjoying this activity of my life, this season of my life. But be very careful in what we're enjoying. Because it's not the enjoyment that we're putting down. I'm not putting down enjoyment. I'm talking about but the path. Are you aware of the path that it's taking you? Because what does he say? You didn't jump the line. You didn't get some special treatment. It says, you are like an ox going to slaughter. It's like someone pulling the cow by the nose. You're heading to slaughter and you don't even realize it. You're like, come on, Solomon, that's taking it a little seriously. Come on, we're just having a little fun once. And okay, if I mess up, I'm sorry, I can make up for it. He said, no. Not only that, he says, you're like a deer stepping into a noose until the arrow pierces its liver. Gets even worse. He's saying, you know, it's not just a temporary thing. You are so gullible that you are not realizing that you're stepping into a sure death sentence. What drama is this? But he goes on, he says, it's like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing that it will cost him his life. It's not just drama, it's predictable. You see, you can predict your future if you will step back and open your eyes and be aware, because God has showed us, God has told us, we've been warned. Don't find yourself at the slaughterhouse and wonder, how did I get here? I was just having a little fun. I'm just going this direction. I was just being special and doing what I wanted. You can predict the destination by looking at the path. So then Solomon steps out of the parable and he says, now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. You see, the choices we make are not just choices. They are ways and they are paths. We are not just preparing ourselves, we are choosing a way and a path for us. And I think that's what we do not look at. They are ways and paths. They're not just choices. We need to understand that. Every little choice is a way. It is a path that we are taking. And the thing with ways and paths, we've already said this. Why are counselors so smart? Why are therapists able to help people? You know why? Because we are all predictable. When you tell them your path, they know where that's heading. Now, there's no solution to it, and we talked about this last week. There's no fix. The only fix is hard work to change your direction. You need to change direction. When you are lost, you don't immediately become unlost. You start a new journey heading out. You've got to change directions. It says, many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Because though you are unique, your path is not unique. You think you're making a choice that other people are not making, and you'll do it differently. You are special to God and made unique to him, but your choices are not. And do not think that you'll end up someplace different than other people have not ended up. It says, her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. And this is a key scripture. Her house is a highway. You might say, no, it's a house. How can a house be a highway? It's a choice that I made. It's a moment. And maybe I need to repent of it. Okay, it was just a bad choice. And I can repent of it. No, it's not something you can, because we play that game. Well, I'm going to do this, but it's not going to change my whole life. I'm just going to do this. And I know I probably shouldn't, but I'll make a, it's not a one-time choice. It's a highway. As soon as you make that choice, you're heading down a path. Those things that are calling to you, those things that are luring you in your life, whether it's other people, whether it's desires in your heart, whether it's little choices of how you're going to organize your life, where you're going to put your priorities, how you're going to spend your money, how you're going to spend your time, those are not just incidental things. They are the highway that is controlling your life. Now, why does he call it a highway? It's a highway because of what we said. Because it is taking you somewhere. Every choice you make is taking you somewhere. It is not an isolated thing. Because even if you make a bad choice and then you repent of it, and you make another bad choice over here, and you know what it's doing? It's developing, we've been talking about this in Sunday school, it's developing pathways even in your brain. It is making you who you are. You are being molded without your knowledge into a different person. Your character is changing. It is taking you somewhere, and that somewhere has a destination. And I want to say this. We all have houses in our life that are actually highways. There are houses in your life right now. Choices, habits, hobbies, enjoyments, entertainment, friends, that you're just living life. But I'm telling you, you're not just living life. They are not just things along your way of life. They are the way of your life. When you make that choice to follow them, to do those things, it is taking you someplace. And we need to begin to open our eyes and stop being blinded to it and making excuses and ignoring it. That's that disconnect. No, but I intend to make it better. You ain't gonna make it better if you keep doing this. You can't keep living this way and think that you're gonna end up there. It's hard work. But you need to line up your intention, then you need to live in a different direction. If you want life to be that way, then you need to live in a different direction. Let's go back to our principle of the path. And we're going to add in a new word. The principle of path, we're going to expand it today. It says, direction, not intention, determines destination. So direction, not intention, determines destination. I know you have good goals, and you believe in God, and you want to see those things. But I'm going to tell you, all that you believe in Jesus will not change you if you don't step on his path. You can say you believe in God, and you can say you live this way, but if you are not living in that direction, Jesus said, the person who hears my words and does not do them, yeah, you have the good religious outward show, but it says it's like a foolish man. You're building your house on a sand, and someday, a storm is going to come, and it says, great is the fall of that house. And I'm going to tell you, you can, for the next 2 years, 3 years, may enjoy life and get away with these things that you're going down. But there's coming a day. I can predict your future, and you should have known. And when that happens, then you're going to look back and say, why did I take this direction? If we go back to the beginning of this story in Proverbs 7, this is how Solomon started it. He said, my son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. That means in your mind. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. And to insight, you are my relative. In other words, stay close to wisdom and insight. For they will keep you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words. You want to solve the disconnect from intention and destination? Then get on the direction that God gives us. Because the direction, not intention, will determine your destination. Direction, what you do, the hard work, not what you say and the good words and your outward show, not your intention, your direction will determine your destination. And I'm telling you, the destination that God has for you is one, not of just fun and pleasure, but one of satisfaction. Fun is always in the rearview mirror. If you think back about all the fun you've had and all the money you've wasted, it could fill a box with nothing. But if you think back of the times that you did something for God, that you were generous, that you loved someone else, doesn't your heart have a little bit different feeling to that? Because here's the thing, fun is always in the rearview mirror, but satisfaction and fulfillment is a traveling partner. It travels with you all your life. And God wants to give you satisfaction. He wants to give you a fulfillment that lasts greater than fun. You might say, you're taking away all my fun. No, I might be taking away a little bit of your fun, but I'm giving you a whole lot more of joy and satisfaction and a destination that other people will be envious of. Because when you follow direction, not intention, your destination will be an inheritance from God that is full of joy and peace, that is beyond understanding, that the world doesn't understand, a joy that is beyond compare. And that is the destination that God wants from you. So today, I want to end with this question. Is your direction lining up with your intention? I know you have a picture of where you want your life to end up. So let me ask you, are you following the direction that will get you there? Or does God need to open your eyes up to the prostitute in front of us, the prostitute of our own heart that's luring us away, the woman of our own desires that is pulling us into things that are highways to the grave? God says, come back to me. I don't have an instant fix, but I have a new direction that you can live in.